5 UTC right after the international news.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 29th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. During this difficult pandemic year of 2020, we've seen the passing of some big sports stars. Some died from illness, others from natural causes, and one basketball great from a helicopter crash in Southern California. In African football, Senegal mourned the death of 2002 World Cup hero Papa Bouba Diop at the end of November. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2020, let's listen to Prince Nesta's tribute. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. And I was really honored to fill in the hot seat last week. Welcome back, by the way. Former Senegal, Fulham and Portsmouth midfielder Papa Bouba Diop has died at the age of 42 following a lengthy illness. Diop made 129 appearances in the Premier League and had spells in England with West Ham United and Birmingham City. He played for Senegal at the 2002 World Cup, where it will be remembered he actually scored the winner in the tournament's opening game as his country beat France 1-0. Supporters and clubs spoke of their shock after the death of the midfield maestro nicknamed the Wardrobe for his towering presence. Senegal President Macky Sall said, and I quote, "The death of Papa Diop is a great loss for Senegal. I pay tribute to a good footballer, respected by all for his courtesy and his talent, proudly reminding us of the Lions saga in 2002. I offer my heartfelt condolences to his family and to the football world." End of quote. Liverpool's Teranga Lions midfielder Sadio Mane wrote on his Instagram, and I quote, "Papi Boba, it was with a broken heart that we learned of your death. Know that you will forever remain in our hearts, even if you left without saying goodbye to us." Super Eagles legend Sunday Ulisse said, and I quote, "Sad day as Africa loses one of its greatest ambassadors in Papa Diop. Faced this phenomenal player sometimes, and what a talented natural force of nature he was. Senegal, we Nigerians mourn with you. Rest in peace, bro." A post on Fulham's Twitter account read, "We are devastated to hear news reports this evening that Papa Diop has passed away. Rest well, Wardrobe." A statement from West Ham recalled his part in their promotion to the Premier League in 2012, adding, and I quote, "He'll always be a part of our club. Our thoughts are with his family at this time." Here on the Sunny Side of Sports, we also extend our sincere condolences to Diop's family, relatives, friends, and the whole football fraternity. May your soul rest in eternal peace.
Thanks, Prince. That's Prince Nesta. On January 26th, Los Angeles Lakers basketball great Kobe Bryant died at the age of 41 in a helicopter crash in Southern California. In another Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2020, VOA's Jim Stevenson reports Kobe's year began with good wishes for his fans in China.
Wishes for 2020 and the Lunar New Year were bright.
"Happy New Year, my dear friends in China. Thank you for your support this year. I wish you happiness, health, and inner magic to achieve more success in the upcoming year of the mouse. Love, Kobe."
NBA great Kobe Bryant posted his annual video for Chinese basketball fans, and then he was gone. A helicopter crash near Los Angeles claimed his life at age 41, along with his 13-year-old daughter Gianna and seven others on board. Fans quickly gathered outside the Staples Center Arena where the Los Angeles Lakers play.
"He's gonna be missed. It was tragic when he left because it took everybody by surprise.
His passion and his drive to play the game was incredible, and what he did for so many people here in Los Angeles. So I'm here today to pay respects."
"Go
Kobe Bryant's given me some of the best memories of my life. And I respect that about it. I respect the hard work. I respect the dedication to the game.
Pay my respect to Kobe, one of my favorite players in the NBA.
He touched my family tremendously. I mean, he was so bigger than the game. Incredible. Incredible athlete. Ever.
Bryant is widely considered one of the greatest NBA players of all time and most known athletes around the world, making 18 All-Star teams during his 20-year career with the Lakers, winning 5 NBA championships, 2 NBA Finals Most Valuable Player awards, and he was the league MVP in 2008. His father, Joe, was a former NBA player who would later take his game to Italy, where Kobe learned to speak the local language fluently. Childhood friend Davide Guidici recalls how Kobe spoke of his future at age 12.
He was just a kid. His Mamba mentality was there in his mind. And I remember him many times saying, guys, one day I will be a professional player. I don't know where, if in Serie A in Italy or in Europe or in NBA, but I would play basketball for sure in my life.
News of his death reverberated from Italy to Philadelphia, where Kobe Bryant was born. His parents named him Kobe after seeing the famous beef from Japan listed on a restaurant menu. The Bryant Gymnasium was dedicated in 2010 to honor the famous alum, who was in 1996 one of just a handful of NBA players ever to be drafted directly from high school. Stuart Guy was his friend.
It was bigger than basketball, really. It was deeper than basketball. Just, you know, he was always kidding around, joking around. We always joked around in the hallways. Always had good conversations. Just funny and down to earth. And that's what I've always told anybody when they ask me about him. He's just a down to earth guy.
Former Los Angeles Lakers head coach Del Harris reflected on the early career of the team's legendary shooting guard.
I was Kobe's first coach when he was only 17 when Jerry drafted him, and 18 by the time he got in an NBA game. And he was just such a wonderful kid, but more than that, has turned into a wonderful adult man.
Del Harris says Bryant's playing legacy endures.
All the players that have come after him have learned about his work ethic and what it takes to be the best that any individual can be.
The tragic news quickly reached China, where Kobe Bryant was the clear icon of professional basketball. Liu Chen is an accountant. He has influenced the generations of post-80s and post-90s. He was the one after Michael Jordan. It's regretful because he was too young. He had good relations with China and visited many times. We all miss him. Everyone, it seems, plays basketball in the Philippines, where Bobby Manlisus is a Kobe Bryant fan. I offered these flowers to him because he has always been my idol. He is my inspiration, his character. He is one of the people who built my character, not just in basketball, but in life. He is my inspiration.
Hindi lang sa basketball, pati sa buhay ko. Naging inspiration ko siya.
Tiger Woods learned of the accident after playing the final round at the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines in California.
It's a shocker to everyone. Unbelievably sad and one of the more tragic days.
Tennis great Novak Djokovic reacted to the news in Melbourne at the Australian Open.
I don't know. I mean, it's really sad. I mean, his daughter that is, you know, 13 years old, and I don't know what to say, to be honest. I'm sorry, but I'm heartbroken, honestly, with what has happened.
Kobe Bryant was on 15 All-NBA teams, 12 All-Defensive teams, and led the league in scoring for 2 seasons. He ranks 4th in the NBA for all-time regular season scoring and all-time postseason scoring. He was also a 2-time U.S. Olympic gold medalist. His first sports ambition was to play football, known as soccer in the United States.
I had more talent playing basketball than I did playing soccer. You know, when I first started playing soccer, they just stuck me in the goal. Because I had these really long arms and long legs, and said, okay, kid, just stop whatever ball comes your way. And that's what I did. And then I started getting better and better. But I was never, close to being as good at soccer as I was at basketball.
In a 2013 interview with ESPN Brazil, Bryant also reflected on his inspiration to play basketball at the highest level.
Oscar Schmidt, Oscar was, he was the guy. When I grew up over there, he was playing in Europe, and he was 35, 40 points every night. He was just automatic. And I remember just watching him play and saying, man, if I could shoot like that, at his height and be able to handle the ball at his size. And him and my father were very similar in that because they were both very tall and both could shoot the ball. So I was a really, really big fan of Oscar.
That inspiration led to many indelible moments, including buzzer-beating shots for the win. Fittingly, his final game would be a magnificent 60-point performance against the Utah Jazz, as Bryant, at nearly age 38, became the oldest player to score that many points in a game.
For the final time, number 24 on the floor, 6'6", 2010, Lower Merion High School, 5-time world champion, Kobe Bryant. A 60-point game for Kobe Bryant. What a performance. What an exit for number 24. You couldn't have written this.
There were low points, injuries, and an alleged rape that was eventually settled out of court. But Bryant's hard work and play culminated with the Los Angeles Lakers retiring both of his jerseys, number 8 and 24, the only player in team history to receive that honor. Just 2 years ago, Kobe Bryant collected another honor, the Oscar for Best Animated Short Film, Dear Basketball.
What are you going to do when you retire? And I'd say, well, I want to be a writer. I want to be a storyteller. And I got a lot of, that's cute. You'll be depressed when your career is over and you'll come back to play. And I got that a lot. And so to be here right now and to have like a sense of validation is, dude, this is crazy, man.
And it's crazy for most of us to think that Kobe Bryant is now gone.
Stand up! Stand up!
Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the Sunny Side of Sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
Take your pick, watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio. Hello, I am Shaka Fali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you. Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
And to quote Shaka, from the deepest better part of the bottom of my heart, I want to congratulate Shaka and the Straight Talk Africa team for celebrating the show's 20th anniversary this year. I know Shaka has a special place in the deepest better part of the bottom of his heart for his homeland of Uganda, as well as the country's national football team, nicknamed the Cranes. Football officials in Uganda say they're satisfied with the overall performance of the Cranes this year, as well as the country's youth teams. Magume Davis Rakawinj reports from Kampala, Uganda.
Like any other sports activities in the world, football in Uganda has been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. The domestic league was suspended from March when the country registered the first case of COVID-19 and just commenced a month ago. The national team activities were also suspended, and women in football has been on hold since then. And when the Uganda Cranes, the national team, resumed international engagements, the results were not very convincing, defeating Miners South Sudan by a 1-0 score, only to lose by the same margin in a return match played at the neutral ground near your stadium in Nairobi, Kenya. Jonathan McKinstry, the Uganda Cranes coach, admitted the better team of the day won. In fact, he congratulated the South Sudanese team.
There was a little bit of
you know, belief that qualification is just an automatic thing. But, you know, you look around the world and you see the Netherlands having not qualified for recent competitions. You see other top nations, you know, not qualifying for things. England a few years ago didn't qualify.
Although he did not blame the loss on the effects of COVID-19, the Ugandan head coach is glad his players are now having enough play time.
The Uganda Premier League is now 4 or 5 rounds into the new season. And obviously a lot of our players playing in Europe have started to play regularly again. So, you know, that's all positive. But naturally, it just means, you know, players haven't been together for quite a long period of time. So that on-field connection and sort of tactical sort of fluidity is a little bit less, and we need to bring it up. But also, just generally, that camaraderie has been missing a little bit over the last year.
Ahmed Hussein, the spokesman for Federation of Uganda Football Associations, FUFA, says the federation is on the right track.
On the whole, we are satisfied with the performance of the team, except one glitch when South Sudan beat us 1-0 in Kenya. But we know the boys will bounce back and deliver. They are thinking about that result as well.
With 7 points in 4 games played and 1 point off leaders Burkina Faso in Group B, Makiso believes the Uganda Cranes is on the course for a 3rd consecutive qualification to the Continental Showpiece.
We've got to come back in March and make sure we get the results against Burkina Faso at home and Malawi away that will take us into the African Cup of Nations in Cameroon in January 22. Now, we know that we have the quality to get the results in those games. But we also know that we need to be at our very best and we need to improve our level from the last game if we're going to get those results.
Leon Senyange, a sports analyst in Uganda, agrees.
Uganda needs history and qualifiers is something that they eventually put behind. They now have the ability and the strength to qualify for every other tournament. I still think that the World Cup is the next target for the Uganda Cranes. They're having development sites that are making great progress. On the continent, in the region.
Uganda men's side, under 15, under 17, and under 20 are SEKAFA regional champions and will play at their respective AFCON finals. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Mugume Davis Rwakarinj wishing you all our listeners a prosperous new year ahead.
This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda Cranes national team. 2020 has been a challenging year for all of us, not only in Uganda and across Africa, but around the world as we've had to come to terms with the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, with a vaccine being released across the globe, we can finally see light at the end of the tunnel. But it's important that whilst that vaccine is rolled out, that we all remain steadfast and alert and adopt the guidelines that are being given out by the Ministry of Health and our various health authorities to make sure that we keep each other safe and we keep ourselves safe until we can get rid of this pandemic. Good luck and good health to everybody.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The Nigeria Professional Football League kicked off its season Sunday after a 9-month break due to the coronavirus pandemic. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted a Port Harcourt-based football analyst, Sammy Wejia.
I don't think I'll be right to just throw the blame squarely at the doorstep of the administrators of football in Nigeria that there was no football for 9 months. I say this because it wasn't just Nigeria that was affected by the outbreak of the coronavirus pandemic. Football all over the world was pretty much suspended. However, we should have restarted things quicker than we did. And it's for our administrators to, in this context, buckle up and plan effectively. Long-term planning. The Premier League made plans for a quick restart. The Bundesliga did the same. I could go on and on. And even in most African countries, there were plans for a restart. Clearly, there were no such plans in Nigeria. And that's why we had the delay in the restarting of the Nigeria Professional Football League. So our officials should learn to plan for cases like this, should we have similar situations crop up in future.
Two Nigerian clubs are already out of continental engagements. Do you think the delay in restarting the league affected their fortunes?
I do think that the clubs not taking part in domestic competition in the shape of the Nigeria Professional Football League certainly affected their performance in inter-CAF club competition, because Plateau United were beaten by Simba FC of Tanzania. Ordinarily, you don't expect a Tanzanian club to knock out a Nigerian club. No disrespect to Simba or Tanzanian football. And the other Nigerian club, Kano Pillars, were beaten by Jaraf of Senegal. Again, similar thing I'm going to say. Senegalese football is not exactly at the same level as Nigerian football. I think Nigerian football is at a higher level. But because these Nigerian clubs were not in action in domestic competition, I think it did affect them. Forevers United and Enyimba International, they just about went through by the skin of their teeth in the preliminary rounds of the competition. So without a shadow of a doubt, the failure of domestic football to get off the ground for the last 9 months, I think, affected Nigerian clubs on the continent.
Going forward, what would be your advice to ensure continuity and uninterrupted league in Nigeria?
It is a very positive thing that football has finally kicked off in Nigeria after 9 months of inactivity, no thanks to the outbreak of the novel coronavirus pandemic. 6 matches were played on Sunday, opening day of the 2020-2021 Nigeria Professional Football League season, and it was great to see football in Nigeria again. One of the biggest positives to draw from this is that two Nigerian clubs had been knocked out in inter-CAF club competition as a result of inactivity of our clubs domestically. One of those clubs, Plateau United, in the CAF Champions League, and the other, Kano Pillars, in the CAF Confederation Cup. Two Nigerian clubs are still in the running in both competitions, Enyimba International in the CAF Champions League and Rivers United in the CAF Confederation Cup. I think it is good for the two clubs who will be in action later this week in the domestic competition, the Nigeria Professional Football League, as they prepare for the second leg of their first round contest in the CAF Champions League and CAF Confederation Cup. Enyimba have got a mountain to climb. They were beaten 3-0 in their first leg contest against the Sudanese club Al Merrikh, while Rivers United won away from home against Bloemfontein Celtic in South Africa. So I think for Rivers United, the season getting underway may have more of a benefit, because I think they will have a run in the CAF Confederation Cup. Not so much so, unfortunately, I think, for Enyimba International, who may just be on the way out of the competition.
That's African football analyst Sammy Wejia. And Sammy spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Sammy Wejia, Port Harcourt-based sports analyst. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19. Thanks.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bongo flavor to sukus, Afrobeat to Ndumbulu and Makosa to Kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. Still on the football beat, the sports world governing body, FIFA, approved new regulations this year to protect the rights of female players, including mandatory maternity leave. The reforms were put forward by FIFA's Football Stakeholders Committee. The committee's chairman is Victor Montagliani. He's also the president of CONCACAF, the Confederation of North Central America and Caribbean Association Football. Montagliani talks about the new regulations for female players and the development of the women's game.
Well, I think we've seen women's football has come a long way on the pitch. The last two World Cups have been a tremendous success, TV audiences, attendances. I think we've seen now the proliferation of women's football at the professional level, at the club level. There's transfers now being done. And I think it was important for us to catch up from a regulatory standpoint and address some of the issues that haven't been addressed specifically for women players. So we thought it was important to sort of set a minimally global standard. Of course, our member associations are free to offer even more protection to the players, but we thought it was very important that we offer some minimum standards as it relates to labor conditions of a female player, specifically maternity. You know, all in all, this regulatory framework really, at the end of the day, underpins conditions that our female players in the world now can enjoy a long and healthy career. And this supports them not only as footballers, but it also supports them as parents.
Victor Montagliani says FIFA is planning to mandate that clubs allow at least 14 weeks of maternity leave, paid at a minimum 2/3 of a player's full salary. However, national football associations can also decide on more generous terms. FIFA also says clubs will be under an obligation to reintegrate the female player into football activity after childbirth and provide adequate ongoing medical support. Any club that ends a player's contract for becoming pregnant would have to pay compensation and a fine and be banned from the transfer market for 1 year. FIFA says the idea is to protect female players before, during, and after childbirth. The new FIFA regulations also seek to address problems for coaches working internationally. Once again, let's hear from Victor Montagliani.
Well, I think we all agree the important role that a coach plays in football. Individually for a player, within a team atmosphere, even at a club, obviously. But ironically, we haven't never had specific regulations that protected this employment relationship of a coach in the football world. There's been a lack of legal certainty and a lack of protection for coaches. And we felt that we needed to fill this gap at FIFA by introducing new regulations to ensure this labor framework for coaches. More transparency, more legal clarity. We believe this will help the entire football market, not just specifically the coaches themselves, which is obvious.
That's Victor Montagliani, the chairman of FIFA's Football Stakeholders Committee. He's also the president of CONCACAF, the Confederation of North, Central America, and Caribbean Association Football.
My name is Jean Seninde with Queen's Park Rangers Women and the Uganda National Team. Listen to Sunny Side of Sport with Voice of America.
Thanks, Jean. The Los Angeles Lakers are off to a slow start in defense of their National Basketball Association title. The Lakers lost to the visiting Portland Trailblazers Monday night, 115-107. The Lakers now have a record of 1 win and 2 losses to start the season. The AP's Mark Myers reports from Los Angeles, California.
Damian Lillard scored 31 points in the Blazers' 115-107 win over the Lakers. Afterwards, Coach Terry Stotts called it a nice early season win for his ball club.
Well, hopefully we can build on it. We realize that we can be a good team. We just beat the defending champs, and They're a great team.
Portland hit 16 three-point baskets. Reserve Gary Trent Jr. made 7 and finished with 28 points, too shy of his career high. C.J. McCollum scored 20 with 11 assists. LeBron James led the Lakers with 29 points. Dennis Schroeder had 24. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. And that wraps up the December 29th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.